The following program is a presentation of Arkansas Symphony and UALR Public Radio.
You're listening to At the Symphony on KLRE Classical 90.5. This is Jeffrey Robson with the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra. During this hour, we will preview and explore the music of the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra's Masterworks series. I will play some of my favorite recordings of the works being performed and share some thoughts and anecdotes about the music and its composers. You've just been listening to the overture to Kolos Brunion by Dmitri Kabalevsky. That recording was of the Minnesota Orchestra, conducted by AGOA. It will open this weekend's Concerts of Russian Music, which will also feature music of Prokofiev and Rachmaninoff. Kabalevsky, the Soviet composer and educator, wrote the opera Kolos Brunion in 1938. It was a Soviet-themed adaptation of French writer Romain Rolland's book of the same name. Optimistic in viewpoint, it suited Kabalevsky's style, which also happened to conform perfectly with the quote-unquote social realism required of Soviet art by the Stalin regime. For comparison's sake, Shostakovich, his eminent contemporary in 1938, feared for his life with every note he wrote. Kabalevsky taught at the Moscow Conservatory and is perhaps best known in this country for writing several concertos for violin, piano, and cello, which are ideal student concertos and also excellent modern music. His music is generally upbeat with modern affectations to the harmony, but without the mixing of styles or dense format or any intense dissonance, all of which would have been considered pro-European bourgeois artistic crimes to the Soviets. The orchestration is rich and cinematic. Here is the rest of the overture, again with the Minnesota Orchestra.
Thank you.
been listening to music of Dmitri Kabalevsky here on At the Symphony. Around the time the opera Kolos Brunion was produced, Sergei Prokofiev was having trouble getting his new ballet, Romeo and Juliet, performed. This was his first official state ballet for the Soviet Union. In 1918, in the immediate aftermath of the Bolshevik Revolution, Prokofiev was granted permission to travel to the United States. He stayed for a couple of years before continuing onward to Paris. He lived in Paris for a decade as a well-known Russian piano virtuoso and composer. He, along with Stravinsky, were two of the better-known Russian composers to have works premiered at Diaghilev's Ballet Russe in Paris. He didn't really have the impulse to conform to the lightning-quick changes in musical styles and trends typical of 1920s Paris, however, and this may have been a small part of his eventual decision to return to the Soviet Union for good during the mid-1930s. He had embraced a more conservative style of composition that he thought would coincide with the Soviet requirements. You're listening to music of Sergei Prokofiev on At the Symphony. This is Jeffrey Robson with the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra. We are previewing the music to be performed this Saturday and Sunday, November 4th and 5th, at the Robinson Center Music Hall in downtown Little Rock. It is an all-orchestral symphonic program of Russian music, including the Suite No. 2 from the super-famous ballet version of Romeo and Juliet by Sergei Prokofiev. The score was finished in 1935, but in an about-face, Soviet officials, who usually condemned unhappy endings to anything, decided that Prokofiev's reworked happy ending to Romeo and Juliet did not do enough justice to Shakespeare's great work. The Bolshoi Ballet declared the music undanceable. Eventually, after much frustration, the work was premiered in 1940, with a reworked, more authentic ending. It has become one of the great staples of the symphonic repertoire and represents some Soviet-era music at its freshest and most inspired. The second part in the suite is a scene called Juliet as a Young Girl. It is playful and whimsical, with many changes in mood to allow a dancer to portray multiple sides of the character. There are lots of great solos for the woodwind players as well as for the principal strings in the orchestra.
Thank you.
Again, you're listening to music of Sergei Prokofiev here on At the Symphony, here on KLRE Classical 90.5. This is another recording of the Minnesota Orchestra, this time under the direction of Stanislav Skrobachevsky. This work will be performed this weekend in its entirety by the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra in a pair of Masterworks concerts this Saturday and Sunday, November 4th and 5th, in Little Rock. Visit www.arkansassymphony.org for more details and ticket information. This next excerpt from Prokofiev's suite contains some of the most dramatic music in the ballet, and it's called Romeo and Juliet Before Parting. It is a favorite movement for musicians because it shows off Prokofiev's incredible gift for melody, which set him apart from many of his contemporaries. The music starts wistfully, turns ominous, then potently dramatic. It alternates between these three states for a full 9 minutes of stunningly captivating music. You've been listening to music of Sergei Prokofiev here on At the Symphony. The Suite No. 2 from Romeo and Juliet will be performed in its entirety this weekend by the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra in a pair of all-orchestral Masterworks concerts. On the program will be works of Russian composers Kabalevsky, Prokofiev, and Rachmaninoff. You're listening to music of Sergei Rachmaninoff. Rachmaninoff, the great Russian late Romantic composer famous for his incredibly virtuosic and lush piano concertos, also left Russia at the outset of the Russian Revolution, but unlike Prokofiev, he never returned. He lived most of the rest of his life in the United States, both in New York and Beverly Hills, California. The Symphonic Dances was his last major work, completed in 1940 and premiered the following year by the Philadelphia Orchestra under the direction of Eugene Ormandy. It feels like a nostalgic work, incorporating Russian-sounding melodies, quotes of his own earlier output, and music that he originally may have envisioned to be part of a ballet. This is a recording of the St. Louis Symphony playing Rachmaninoff's Symphonic Dances. You're listening to music of Sergei Rachmaninoff on KLRE Classical 90.5. This is Jeffrey Robson with the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra. These are the Symphonic Dances of Rachmaninoff, a three-movement orchestral suite that was his last composition. The second movement is the most ballet-like of the three, as it is a grand waltz reminiscent of those of Tchaikovsky from 50 years earlier. This work uses a full symphony orchestra with all of the extra instruments available to him, including an alto saxophone. This movement typifies his lush style of orchestration and carries a mood, to me, that suggests some sort of longing for the past. At the time of its composition, 1940, there really was nobody else who was writing music like this, and thus the style is quite distinctively Rachmaninoff's own. He never engaged in any of the various movements in modern music, except perhaps to adopt some of the rich harmonies that to me sound like they are derived from jazz. That is less frequent in this piece than in some of his piano works. But here is the second movement of Symphonic Dances, titled Andante con moto, tempo di valse. Thank you. That was a recording of the second movement of Sergei Rachmaninoff's Symphonic Dances, as performed by the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. The third movement carries some life and death themes. He incorporates the famous Dies Irae chant melody that has been frequently co-opted by composers throughout history. He also quotes his own All Night Vigil, a work from much earlier in his life, to represent the resurrection. The movement is much more symphonic struggle than grand ballet, but it's a wonderful example of late romantic composition from one of the last traditional romantic composers.
Thank you.
Once again, you've been listening to At the Symphony. This has been a preview of works to be performed this weekend by the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra. On the program will be works of Kabalevsky, Prokofiev, and Rachmaninoff. The concerts are this Saturday, November 4th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, November 5th at 3 p.m. at the Robinson Center Music Hall in downtown Little Rock. As usual, the concerts will be preceded by Concert Conversations, a pre-concert talk given by music director Philip Mann. Those take place 1 hour before each performance. Until then, this is Jeffrey Robson with the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, and we'll see you at the Symphony.
You have been listening to At the Symphony with Jeffrey Robson, a presentation of the Arkansas Symphony and UALR Public Radio.